Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Space Champs podcast. I'm your host, Jim Murphy, and today we welcome back a very special guest, Brad Wasser, from the Space Science and Rocketry Instagram page. Brad, we were just saying before, you know, this is the first time we've ever welcomed a guest back, except for our wonderful co-host, Will Murphy, who hasn't been on in a while. How you doing?
Good. It's awesome to be back.
Yeah, we love it. We love chatting. We love shooting the... I'm not really sure if I'm allowed to curse yet on this. I think it's up to me, but I'm not really sure. Because I want to call it. Yeah, you know, I want to call this shooting the with Brad Wasser, but you know, we'll let it slide for now. But yeah, we were just saying there's not as much to talk about right now, you know, since we covered so much ground on the last one. But there is some good stuff. There's a lot of cool stuff that's been going on, and I guess we can start that off. We'll start it off with a little Crew 2 action.
Yeah, it's a good launch. Everything looked fine. I think the computer did everything once again. They didn't even have to do anything on board. The booster landed. Everything went great, yeah.
Yeah. See, I'm always torn. For me, I love seeing people go to space, but seeing the booster land still gets me almost more just because doesn't seem real.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
It was a flown booster, too. It's the same one they used for DM-1, and the capsule is the same one from the first mission, or the first test mission. So, reuse capsule, reuse booster.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I saw that. That's great. And he said, I know Elon Musk was interviewed, and he said that they're going to use these rockets. They're going to use everything until they see a like, functional issue with them, essentially.
Yeah. So. I'm not sure if they're going to keep flying crew on it, or if they're going to use it for cargo. I think that will be up to NASA. Since they're paying for it, but that'll be interesting to see. Originally they were never going to use the same capsule to fly crew more than once, so I mean they might extend it, since they already extended it once. We'll see about that. The boosters can obviously fly like 10 times.
Well, they've had some that have flown what, 8 or 9 times. I know that's the most I've heard of.
I think they're up to 7 or 8 now.
That's
on one booster.
You know, and the whole everything today is all about reusability. I mean, all over the world, but definitely in the space world, that's how you get things done. Each and every, you know, big private space companies coming up with reusable vehicles for either getting cargo into microgravity or getting them to, you
know, ULA.
Except ULA, ULA. I always think of them more as like, they're not as much. I think there's a difference between commercial and like private. And the ULA reminds me of more like, they're more like,
I think of them as like a military service. Like they launch stuff for the military and CIA and that type of stuff. Yeah.
Exactly. We got them. They're setting up the Delta IV today, right? We were talking about that a little bit. And it's
NRO satellites classified. We don't know.
Yeah, we don't know what it is.
Yeah.
You know, I guess I'm glad I don't know everything that's going into space. You know, I probably don't need to know all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. We did a whole episode on satellites a little while ago, I believe. And satellites are hell of a thing. I was actually just doing a little research project on the SR-71 Blackbird, and that thing cost a fortune. Obviously, it was awesome.
Yeah, very cool.
It's like one of my favorite friggin' aircrafts of all time. But they were talking about how, it was made in like the late '60s, and it was being used for reconnaissance over, in the Cold War and other stuff. But once they started putting up satellites in orbit, they kind of stopped using it, but it was so great. It was so quick. It was so fast that they had to use it in like certain parts of the world that satellites couldn't go. So I kind of like that. It was still fighting back and, you know, doing all that stuff.
Yeah. The whole point of it was to be able to outrun missiles.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
Mach 3.3 at what? I think it was 16,000 feet in the air.
Yeah, the pilots were astronauts, technically.
According
to the Air Force.
Yeah, I love that stuff.
Very cool.
Yeah, well, that's the good stuff. But, you know, ULA, forget it. But that's happening like in the next hour. So probably while we're doing this, it's going to go. So that's kind of exciting. Do you watch every launch, or do you only watch like...
I watch most of them. I watch every SpaceX launch. Every now and then I'll miss like an Ariane launch or something like that, but mostly every launch, yeah.
Yeah, see, I wish I was more of a launch guy, but sometimes I don't have the ability. Like, I woke up to see the crew, too. That was, like, that happened to be, like, I think it was, like, 6:11 in the morning, 5 in the morning or something like that. And I woke up for that because, you know, I roll over in bed, whip it up on the phone, and you can see it go off. And that's still great. I'll tell you what I definitely can't wait for is the first launch of a Super Heavy.
That's what I'm
waiting for. That thing
for
is
beast. They're starting to stack it down in Texas for the so I mean we'll get to see that soon. I wonder how many engines they're going to use on the first test flight, if they're going to go for the full like 37 or if it's just going to be something scaled back, but it's going to be crazy.
Yeah, I don't know, because I remember the last time we talked, you said we were talking about the Artemis, the SLS, and then we were talking about the Super Heavy, and somewhere in there we were like 16.4 million pounds of thrust. And I was like, wait a minute. I was like, that is an insane amount of thrust, because the Saturn V had like 7.8 or 7.6. And I was like, there's no way the SLS is going to have that much. And then I remembered it was the Super Heavy. And they're putting, it's got double the friggin' thrust as the Saturn. And it's got almost double, or maybe even more.
I believe it's 17 million pounds.
What?
Yeah,
that's insane. That's insane. And I think it's because, obviously, they're trying to send 100 people in, like, a single Starship.
Or 100 tons in orbit.
Yeah, or 100 tons, which is crazy. Mm-hmm. That's an enormous amount of, like, weight to be sending into space.
And then with orbital refueling, you could theoretically send that 100 tons to the surface of the moon or Mars. That's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's super cool. So I'll definitely be getting up for those. And I've been, I know we talked about this before, but I've been looking, trying to find like non-renders of the Super Heavy, kind of just like nice pictures of the big old stack, and I can't do it.
They're kind of hard to find.
Yeah, they are.
There's Boca Chica Gal on Twitter. I don't know if you follow her.
And
she'll have some good pictures. Lab Padre has another Twitter account with some good pictures. I think some people will fly drones around the SpaceX facility, which SpaceX doesn't like. They have sides up, and they're always telling people not to, but people still do it, and that's where we get a lot of our pictures.
Yeah.
Yeah. Elon, every now and again, will tweet something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know it's very hard to find, but I can't wait for the whole thing to be set up. And it's also, it's like a classic, you know, Saturn V. It's huge. You know, the Falcon is great. It's big, but it's not huge. Like, this is going to be huge, and I'm
super excited. It's massive. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And I can't wait to see 37... Are they using the Raptors again?
Yeah, the Raptors. Mm-hmm. First and second stage.
Yeah, that thing's been
wild. How many engines exactly they're using? They've changed it as they've gone along, but it's somewhere in the 30s, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that'll be absolutely something. And is that planning on landing itself or no?
Yeah, they plan on landing that, of course.
That will be crazy.
The whole thing about Starship and Super Heavy is complete reusability.
Standing a building, essentially. I mean, when you land that Super Heavy, that's going to be insane.
Now, Super Heavy should be much easier for them to land than a Starship, because Super Heavy is sort of like a blown up Falcon 9 boost, you know?
That's true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Starship there, I mean, what the next one they're doing is the 15, right?
I believe so, yeah.
They haven't done that yet. I think he said that within the next 2 weeks they were going to try to do that.
They've still yet to land it enough.
Yeah.
Again, or do anything. They landed once.
They landed once.
A couple minutes later, it didn't look so good. Yeah.
Exactly. Uh-huh. That was awesome. That was like kind of cool and also.
Very
and
cool,
the next
yeah.
day, what'd they do? The next day, it was super foggy, and they just launched the 12.
Yeah, we didn't even see anything.
Yeah, we didn't even see it. All we saw was after
we saw an explosion. Cleared,
yeah, it burned. Yeah. We saw like the soda can.
Uh-huh.
And now I'm thinking, that brings me to the other thing. Like the FFA was all on them because, or the government or somebody was telling that the FFA was like unwise to let them launch that day.
Yeah.
They were kind of in
hot water. I'm not sure why. As a matter of fact, the FFA sent like an agent, I don't know what you call him, but a person to go and inspect the launch site and everything. And he actually couldn't get there the day before. So they had to push it to that foggy day.
Yeah.
So it's kind of their fault they had to launch that day.
Yeah, I don't know. Elon doesn't. Yeah. I think he was like, whatever, let's just fire it off because we're just going to go to the SN15 now. Like, we're just going to skip. So let's just go for it. If it works, it works.
I'm curious to see if they're development process slows down a little bit now that they've gotten this human landing system contract, and yeah, there's a bit more weight on them. I'm sure you already see how the media will cover a lot of these launches. It tends to be sort of disingenuous, so yeah, they might slow down a bit.
Well, that's the new the new news over at SpaceX is the what is it, human landing systems grant. They beat out Dynatex,
right?
Or Dynetics, or
one
Dynetics, of those. And then Blue Origin, they beat out both of them. We talked about this, but I thought Blue Origin was gonna get it.
That's
I
was shocked. Blue Origin and that entire national team. I mean, you had you also had Lockheed Martin on there, Boeing, Draper, and somebody else, but like all the big aerospace contractors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously they have huge power with Congress, but somehow SpaceX got picked, which is probably, I don't know if it's good. We'll see. SpaceX is obviously developing the most complex of all of them. But yeah, very surprising that they got picked. And they're the only one that got picked. They didn't do like a half and half thing. SpaceX is getting all $2 billion, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah, that's wild. And
I think it's 1.9 billion, but yeah.
Yeah, whatever. I'll take the other, you know, point 1 billion. Yeah. I'll take that. I just send that over to Space Jam. but that's awesome. And I love the renders of like the modified Starship for lunar Starship. Like those are really cool.
You see the solar panel wrapping?
Yeah, it looks like something from Star Wars.
It does, yeah.
Looks like after episode, what is it, the end of episode 2, like Dooku shows up on Coruscant.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And he does the solar sail type deal.
Yeah.
That's what that reminded me of. So I thought that was really cool. It's such a weird delivery system, too. Like the renders, you see them getting on like an elevator at the top of the Starship and like going down to the surface. They're up like, it looks like, you know, 30
several stories. Yeah, very high.
It's going to be crazy. And I know we talked about earlier, the reason you convinced me that it wasn't going to be SpaceX is because of the power that the Starship has and the debris that it could send into the into orbit around the moon. And that's when I was like, oh my god, it's a great point.
Well, apparently they plan on using I'm not sure if they're Super Dracos, but something like some of the Super Dracos that they currently use on Dragon 2, the launch abort motors. They plan to use those to land. I think it's going to have like 20 of them or something, and they're sort of along the top, and so the Raptors will make the burn to take them out of lunar orbit and down to the surface. But once they get near the surface, they're going to cut off the Raptors and use those Super Dracos up top to finish the landing. So that is a way of them fixing the debris thing without having to build a landing pad before every landing.
That's really cool. We had a guest come on before. I don't know if you listened to that episode, but he actually like helped build those Draco engines that do the like escape. On the Dragon, if they're in trouble and everything. So I wonder if he knows anything about that. Like, I wonder if he knew about this going forward, but that's super cool. And those are awesome when they fire. They look really great. It looks like a bullet or something. I mean, they look awesome.
Now, they use a different fuel than the Raptor, so it'll be interesting to see how they integrate that into the design.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's cool. Very cool, yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited. I still hope in the future that, I mean, Elon's going to go wherever he wants, regardless of what contract he's getting. He's going to Mars himself. But I hope that Blue Origin, and this is inevitable, but I hope Blue Origin and all those other companies get into space and go to the moon themselves, because it would be really cool to see, like, competing, not necessarily competing, but it would be nice to see, like, a bunch of different companies taking people to the moon.
Yeah, and they will. Obviously, Blue Origin has, you know, unlimited funding if Jeff Bezos chooses. I mean, but NASA has said that they do plan on picking another lander somewhere down the line.
Oh, nice.
But SpaceX is just the first one for the first mission. Yeah.
All right, sweet. Sweet. That's what I like to hear.
I'm curious about how they refuel the lunar Starship and lunar orbit. I mean, they'll have to, I don't know if they'll get it from Earth or if they'll have some type of infrastructure on the moon for refueling, but they want to reuse it. And obviously, if you reuse it, you have to refuel it. So I don't know how they're going to do that.
Are you saying, like, how, once they get to the moon, how are they going to refuel it to get it off the moon?
So once like it lands on the moon and then they launch back into orbit to the lunar gateway, what are they going to do then to refuel it?
Will
it come back to Earth orbit or
Good point. I mean, it's a lot heavier than, you know, the old lunar module that, you know, they sent back in the Apollo days. It's a lot bigger. It's a lot heavier. I mean, yeah, that's a great point. I actually don't know. I mean, you wonder when we're going to get to the point where we'll be like in orbit refueling, like we'll have fuel in orbit. I mean, that would be an interesting thing. But
here on Earth, it's obviously much easier because you can launch it from here. But on the moon, I mean, you'd have to mine water ice and then, you know, turn that water ice and
propellant.
Yeah.
I'm thinking like if they spent some money to carry fuel into a depot in orbit, and then the Starship
would leave.
You could have one Starship, one Starship used as like a ferry to the moon and something from orbit or something like that. That seems like, I mean, that's kind of what they're doing with the gateway, with the lunar gateway. I mean, I think they're looking for that transportation, that kind of like a shuttle service.
Maybe for the first couple missions, they only plan to use the first lander a time or two, but I'm sure down the line they want to be reusing these and refueling them in lunar orbit.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. Yeah, I'll love to see all that happen. That's when it's going to get really interesting again. And a couple weeks ago, we talked to someone from the Crew 2 mission. They're part of the commercial crew program and everything. And we asked her a little bit about, you know, going the Artemis and stuff, and the commercial crew program doesn't have anything to do with going to the moon or anything like that. So it's going to be totally different.
Totally different. Yeah.
So that's exciting that they're, you know, they're still going to have that going on, and maybe they'll be helping each other out. They'll be kind of like,
now, you know, NASA funding this lander, they're at the same time, they're funding a competitor for a SLS. You know what I mean? They could end up going this. It'd be really cool to see astronauts launch on Starship to the gateway, dock with the gateway, and then get on another Starship to go down to the moon.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. So I was doing this project for Air and Space, and one of the things was, I'm talking about the SLS. I'm talking about Saturn V because it's the most powerful rocket ever flown. You know, the Soviets had that rocket that was more powerful, but they never flew it, so it doesn't count. But then my boss is like, well, the SLS is going to be more powerful, or it is more powerful. I'm like, well, it is, but it isn't. It hasn't flown yet. So, yeah. I mean, I don't count that yet. And then I'd have to change it again because the Super Heavy is way more powerful than that. So it's like, when does it stop? Eventually, you just got to, like, you gotta give kudos to history. And then, you know, there's going to be such an acceleration of power and technology going to space now that it's going to be tough to, like, keep up.
For sure, yeah. It'll be interesting to see how Blue Origin and other companies compete with SpaceX and stay relevant. Because, I mean, if SpaceX could really pull off Starship and make it completely and rapidly reusable, and I think they're aiming for, like, $10 a kilogram or something to orbit, if they could really pull that off, I mean, I doubt they form a monopoly with space launch, but, I mean, Blue Origin will have to do something. Yeah. Blue Glenn is nice to compete with Falcon 9 and Falcon Heavy, but I don't think it could compete with Starship.
Yeah, but how about that for you've been building New Glenn for years now, and you're like, oh, this will be good. Like, we got a competitor, and then you realize that, oh, geez, now we got to deal with Super Heavy. It's that power and the fact that they want to take, like, you know, the key that most people we've ever sent to the moon at once is, you know, three, and that's like, one's in orbit, two are on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
He can put 50 people, 100 people in the Starship. If that's what they're, you know, if they can still do it, you know, that's what they say. We'll see. But I think Elon might run into a problem. Like, where do you can't do it yet because there's no infrastructure anywhere. Like, there's nowhere to put 50 or 100 people anywhere on the moon or anywhere.
There's nowhere to put them. There's nowhere to make the fuel to get them back. So, yeah.
I've seen some really cool stuff on, like, NASA, and also you follow Bo's Planet.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's been doing some really cool, he or she, I'm not really sure. They've been doing some really awesome stuff regarding habitats on, like, Mars and the moon. And they're, like, inflatable kind of situation.
And then the 3D printed on top of it.
Yeah, I've seen that too. And those, all that's very cool and very creative. Mm-hmm. And I'd love to see like Elon take a bunch of, he doesn't like AI, but I'd love to see him take a bunch of robots to the moon, a bunch of Perseverances to build some habitats for 100 people to live in.
I don't know if he hates AI. I mean, his cars drive themselves.
Well, that's true. That's true. Yeah. He's wary. He's wary. Mm-hmm. He's a big Skynet guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, that's a great question. Okay, so there's the Matrix, and there's Skynet.
Right.
Which universe would you rather be trapped in?
Now, Skynet is Terminator, right?
Yeah, that's Terminator.
Okay. Probably that one. At least it's real. You know what I mean? The Matrix isn't. Yeah.
Well, no, the Matrix is real. It's just you got to get out of the Matrix and then you're in the real world. But that world sucks. Except they're having like raves down in Zion. Like people are just jumping around getting sweaty. So that's kind of fun. Mm-hmm. But I guess the other world, the Skynet Earth, that one's kind of an apocalypse. I think they're both bad. But I don't want to live on the ground. So I think I'm going to go with Skynet Terminator world as well. Mm-hmm. That's going to be my world. Yeah, that's classic. What else do we got? Oh, we got Ingenuity.
Oh, yeah. Totally forgot about that. Two flights now. Maybe three. I'm not sure if they flew today.
Yeah, I know I know there's definitely two. Mm-hmm. But how about that first flight? The first images of that flight were... I think some people... I was showing some people... And nobody cares. Like, most people don't care. Like, we care, I suppose. But I was like, check this out. And it looks like Ingenuity. You can't even tell it's flying if you don't watch the video, because it's gray. It's black and white and everything. And I'm like, you don't know how amazing this is. Like, we have the first powered flight, like, honestly, like 100 years, a little over 100 years on a different planet after we had the first powered flight on the Earth. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah. Now people are saying that technically it's not the first powered flight, because technically that sky crane that was used to land the rover was the first powered flight.
I love the sky crane.
Yeah, yeah. But that's a bit technical. I think Ingenuity's the first controlled and powered flight.
Nice.
Ever.
Yeah. All right. I like it. But even then it's even more impressive, because then we've done it sooner. The sky crane's done it sooner.
That's a good point.
I think the idea that it landed, because the sky crane, once it drops off the rover, just like flies away and crashes. Yeah. So I think Ingenuity, the idea that we land, we take off and we land again, that says that means a lot. So I'm going to go with Ingenuity. But that was big enough.
Yeah. And they didn't go that high up. I think they only went about 15 or 20 feet and did a little translation across the surface and landed in another spot. Obviously in the future they want to go a bit higher and farther. They want to be able to map out Perseverance's route along the surface. Yeah,
that's like a nice little scout.
Did you see the pictures from Perseverance of Ingenuity taking off?
Yeah,
that's very cool. They made it look like a little video.
Those were amazing. I thought that was great. The thing I don't understand is the actual physics of how it works. So, you know, Ingenuity's got two propellers, but there's not a lot of atmosphere. You know, it's like 1% of Earth's atmosphere. And how does like the airfoil happen? How do they get the thrust, the lift? How do they make that all happen? That's what I don't understand without the atmosphere.
Yeah, Ingenuity's really, really light. I forget how much it weighs, but it's only a few pounds, and those propellers are spinning very fast.
They have to be.
Hundreds of our repetitions, like a second. So that generates enough lift to get up. And also, they're pretty low in Mars. They're actually in a crater, if you remember.
Yeah.
So they're quite low. So the atmosphere is a bit thicker down there than it would be, say, where Curiosity is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that stuff, that's the kind of stuff that I think about. And I'm like, I don't really know how it works. And so I kind of like that. And I know that there's something with the two propellers. There's something about that that creates more of a... you know, a pocket or something in there. I'm not great.
I think they spin opposite directions too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not great with my flight physics, but I know there's something to do with that. But anyway, that was great. And everyone knows, I think we talked about this before, but it had a little piece of the Wright brothers' first flyer on it.
Yeah.
So that was the first powered flight on Earth that went to the moon. I mean, I'm sorry. Oh, it did go to the moon, but more recently it was on Ingenuity.
Is it the same? Is it the same piece that went to the moon? I don't think so. I bet that's probably at a museum.
That's probably at Air and Space. Honestly, I should probably know.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, it is at Air and Space. It is at Air and Space. Yeah. So.
Did that fly on Apollo 11?
Yes.
Okay. Did it land on the moon with Armstrong and
Aldrin? Yeah, it did.
Okay. Very cool.
Yeah. So that is cool. Yeah. I'm like 99% sure it went with Neil Armstrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Either that or Apollo 8 would have to be one of those two.
Yeah. But it was pretty fantastic. Yes, I love that little history bit. I like that they did all that.
Yeah.
So that was awesome too. Oh, another news. We got the SLS. We're kind of jumping here, but you know, clap for Ingenuity. But then we got everybody's moving SLS. I know we were kind of crapping on it a little bit before, but everyone's moving it to Cape Canaveral. You know, they're moving from the Stennis Center in what – are you – wait, where is the Stennis Center?
I think it's in Mississippi.
Okay, I was about to ask if you're kind of close to that. I thought it was in Missouri, but I guess it's
– no, other amp state.
Other, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they're moving her down the river, and they're taking her over to Cape Canaveral, I believe.
Down the Mississippi, over through the Gulf to Cape Canaveral, yeah.
Nice. I still love seeing a nice, good old-fashioned NASA rocket. I'm excited.
It'll be nice to see.
Yeah, I'm excited for them to get all that together.
I wish we didn't have to, you know, kill the RS-25s and just throw them in the ocean.
Yeah, well, it's kind of a bummer because it already makes the SLS a little more obsolete than...
For sure.
The you know, even the Falcon or the Super Heavy, which hasn't even flown yet, but and I know you were telling me those are the same boosters that were used with the shuttle, like those were part of the first stage shuttle launch.
You talking about the Salads or the RS-25 engines?
The RS-25s, are they?
Yeah,
the thinner ones.
What do you mean? The ones on the side.
Yeah, the ones on the side.
Yeah, those are the Salad rocket boosters. Yeah, they're not the same hardware, but they're the same technology, but a bit bigger. Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah, so that's kind of a shame. They don't even collect those?
No. I mean, on the space shuttle flights, they would land them with parachutes in the ocean, but they're not even – they're just going to fall in the ocean and sink now. And same with the core stage with those – with the RS-25s, which – those actually flew on space shuttles. I forget which ones. I think Discovery and one of the other ones. But now they're just going to fall into the ocean after flight.
That doesn't even make sense anymore.
No, I don't think it does.
It's like opening up a coal factory. It just doesn't make sense.
The engines are made to be reusable, too. I mean, they were designed for reusability in the 80s. So why in the 2020s are we throwing them away? I don't know.
That seems like a huge waste of money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
put them in a museum. You can send them all over the world, put them in different museums.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
They're so big. They're nice to look at. I mean, I love that stuff. Like the garden, the rocket garden at the Kennedy Space Center. I love walking through there. And it's like you're looking at history and you're looking at space flight. That's what I want to see. I don't know. Well, that'll be interesting. That's kind of upsetting. Maybe didn't SpaceX just retire its retrieval ships?
Yeah, for the fairings.
Yeah,
I forget what their names are.
Yeah, I forget their names too. But
the big nets.
Yeah, the big nets, and they kind of worked. I think they worked like 30% of the time.
Yeah, most of them they just fished out of the ocean, but they caught a couple.
Yeah, so that I understand why you retire them. It doesn't work. But I did like their send off. It was kind of fun, and
yeah,
I kind of like the idea too. And how much could it have cost to just put a big old net on a huge, you know, cargo ship to go for?
And I believe those fairings cost $10 million. So each one they recovered, they were saving $10 million on a flight. So that's, I mean, helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that might be more difficult for the SLS. So how many of those, boosters are going to fall off the SLS? Is it two or four?
Well, it's the engines on the core stage.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
So it'll be four on each flight, yeah.
I can't believe they're getting rid of engines like that.
Yeah, it's sad. They have designed a Aerojet Rocketdyne is who makes them. They've designed a new version that's cheaper and not made to be reused. So, I mean, in the future, it won't be as expensive. But right now, I mean, you're throwing away. I mean, each launch is $2 billion of the SLS, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, that's crazy. And I think, especially with engines, like we can definitely reuse engines. I don't know.
Yeah, you could, maybe they could try like what ULA plans to do with Vulcan, where they recover the propulsion element with, mm-hmm. with the engines. I mean, the engines are like 90% of the cost of the stage. So, I mean, it'd be worth trying.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
I guess maybe they know what they're doing. You know?
Maybe. Maybe.
I'm not an expert, so.
Maybe they just want to spend money.
Maybe they just want to spend our money.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I suppose that's the case. But in other news, I know we were talking before, we were saying that, you know, most of, except for ULA, most of the other private commercial space companies have come up with reusable stuff. And Blue Origin has had a success there, where a couple weeks ago, I think it was the 14th or something, April 14th, Blue Origin had its successful dress rehearsal for its new Shepard.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, they were launching off, but before the launch, they had people get in, get strapped in, but then they took them out because they were just doing a dress rehearsal. Well, I was like, you're already in there. Just go. Just get a free ride.
Once they took them out, too, there was some wind. So they didn't launch for like 2 more hours.
Yeah.
So it wasn't exactly realistic, but
yeah,
I guess it's good practice.
It's good practice. So they're on their way to sending people to microgravity for like commercial space flight. And that would be kind of cool.
They've already sent payloads.
Yeah, they've been sending payloads and stuff. I know that. And I think, what was it? It was Virgin that was doing for Valentine's Day. You could send up like a love letter, I think, where and they would go to space and it would like the love letter been to space or something. They send it to the person you wanted to go to. But
interesting.
That was kind of fun. But someone was talking about which of the companies you would want to go on a flight on to space. And honestly, I love me some Virgin Galactic because they've been doing it, but their ride does look scary.
Yeah, I don't like
roller coasters, but it looks scary. The Blue Origin does not look scary to me.
Nah.
You go up, you're on a bomb, essentially, a controlled bomb. But then you get up there, the capsule separates, you kind of float in space for like 2 minutes, 3 minutes, and then you fall, but then you parachute down, and then there's a little air burst at the very end that lightens the impact as you land in the desert in Texas. But I think, honestly, that one looks like the most comfortable ride.
Definitely. And they have the launch escape system in case something goes wrong with the booster. Virgin Galactic doesn't have anything.
Yeah, but their new Starship looks awesome. So
yeah, I guess.
I'm all good with that. Did we talk about that when that debuted?
No, I don't think we did.
Oh, dude, the Imagine looks great.
It's pretty cool. Yeah, I saw it. I don't know. The planes just look kind of weird to me.
Really?
The space planes, yeah.
I like it.
It's not bad. We'll see what they do with it. I don't know why anyone would want to fly on that instead of Blue Origin. The Blue Origin capsule, the inside, it's more spacious too. The plane has like no space. Have you seen the interior?
Yeah, I have seen the interior. I thought it looks all right.
So it's okay.
The old ones are a little not there. They don't have any room. But the new one I thought was kind of, it was very SpaceX-y. It was very like dragon-y to me. But yeah, I mean, I'd like to go wherever anyone let me go up. I'll take the heat. I'll take the scariness if it can get me up there. I like the planes. I think they're cool. And I like the fact that, you know, they're using the old Spaceship One XPRIZE, you know, design. I think that's cool too. So I kind of like that part of it.
Now, does a person fly does a person fly the plane, or is it a computer flying it?
No, there's two pilots. You get two astronauts flying the plane.
I don't know if that's good or bad. You know,
I think
it opens up for human error.
Yeah,
I
suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. It does look a little scary, but maybe it'll get less scary by the time we are able to go up. Yeah, we'll see. But the human error thing makes me think of today or yesterday, Elon Musk was in an interview and he was talking about, he was saying people are going to die on Mars. He's like, that's going to happen. It's exploration. And I was like, of course.
Mm-hmm. I didn't hear that, but I've seen the headlines.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did he really say that?
Yeah. He said like, there's like, it's like dangerous. Like it's hard to live there. It's like people are going to die. And I don't think that should be a shock to anyone, because whenever anyone has explored on Earth, you know, there's always been, you have to face like the, not only like the natural habitat you're entering in, but everything else you got to deal with. And there's no air there. There's nothing there, no water. Like there's so many more challenges. It would be insane if we weren't going to die.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they could do it and minimize death. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm not saying we're not going to minimize death, but there will be death. Like, the, you know.
Maybe. Nobody died in the Apollo. Well, Apollo 1. But Apollo nobody 1. Died on the moon.
Good old Gus, good old Ed White. And Ed White, who was the third?
Oh, no. I don't know. Gus, Ed White, Grisham? No, I don't know.
I don't know. I don't remember the third either.
Yeah.
But yes. So the Apollo didn't. And then 13 was close.
Very close. Yeah.
But I think just the fact, I don't think in transit to Mars, there will be deaths. I think just living on Mars, there could be deaths, because that's very uncertain.
It was Grisham, Ed White, and Roger Chaffee.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Roger, I'm sorry we forgot about you, babe. Yeah, that one's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know what it takes to, you know what it takes to live. I know I asked you this question before. We'll go into it. So it's gonna take some inventing to not die on Mars. You know, we get the Moxie on Perseverance right now, pulling oxygen out of the air or trying to make oxygen, things like that. It's gonna take some inventions, and now that I think about it, that might be one of the greatest inventions of all time. But
maybe,
what do you think are like the three, top three, top five best inventions of all time for human beings?
Man, that's so hard. I mean, you could go back so long. You could say fire. You could say agriculture. I think agriculture probably has to be there.
Nice.
Not necessarily in order, but like flight, including space flight, electricity. Then you have to put the internet in there. I mean, it opens up and it gives everybody access to like all the information ever. I don't know. I want to say the International Space Station because of all the medical science has been done, but I feel like that kind of goes along with flight, space flight. Maybe like nuclear fission, nuclear energy.
I don't think, honestly, we haven't perfected that yet. We haven't.
No, not really. Yet.
That's what I would say for that one. But mine. So in order is mine. First of all, fire, I'm not going to count.
I can see that, yeah.
Because there's always been like fires, I guess. But I will count electricity for like, because we've like dominated electricity. Like we use it all the time. It's everywhere. I just don't think fire, because, you know, there's natural fire and there is natural electricity, but I don't know. I don't love that one. But there's definitely a case for fire. There's definitely a case there.
What about agriculture?
Oh, agriculture was mine. Yeah. That's my third.
Okay.
So for me, my friend convinced me. Number one is the wheel.
Okay.
I'm going all the way back, baby.
Okay. I guess I can see that.
The wheel is my number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is electricity.
Okay.
Three is agriculture. Four is going to be the plane, the first plane. I'm going that's my fourth. And then five, I'm kind of give or take, but I'm thinking like penicillin.
Okay, that's not a bad one.
That's where I'm going.
Not the internet.
See, I you brought up the internet, and that's a great one. I'm, now that you're making me rethink a little bit. So essentially, it's just access to information.
All the information ever, pretty much.
So
yeah,
I would think maybe like Gutenberg's press then, you know, like maybe all the way back, because that was like the original access. That's the original internet.
Now
like,
you know,
internet is just access to information. Maybe it's just Goody, you know, over the internet, but the internet did it better. I mean, it's the You know, I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
And you know, the printing press was originally invented in Korea.
Oh, they Gutenberg.
Really? Yeah, Gutenberg just made a kind of a newer version and introduced it to the West in Europe. Yeah.
So we were, that's the other thing we were talking about. We were talking about like gunpowder and like cannons coming from China.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, I think if we're like thinking about like military history.
Yeah.
Inventions and stuff like that. It'd be like the bow and arrow, like change to the game.
For sure. Yeah.
But then we got, you know, with comes with the powder and everything come from China. But I believe the British came up with guns.
Yeah, I don't know who made guns.
I'm pretty sure the British.
I know the Chinese were the first to use powder.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think they used it to propel arrows and like fireworks and stuff.
Really?
Yeah. They had an arrow propulsion system, kind of like a mini rocket, honestly.
That's awesome. So like a mini RPG.
Mm-hmm. And I believe the Indians also use that. Obviously, India's not far from China.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you gave me a little tude when I said the wheel. I want to hear the argument. I want to hear why not the wheel.
I guess it's not a bad one. I just think it's I don't know. How hard was that to invent? I wonder. You know?
I don't know if it's about how hard. I think it's about how much does it affect your life. You know what my other one is that I put like top 10?
Mm-hmm.
Cups.
Cups.
Like
really?
Things that carry things.
What about this cup?
That's not it though. But like, yeah. You know, you're carrying gallons of water back from the river because you got a pot. Like the people that made stuff that holds stuff,
mm-hmm.
hear it for them.
Pottery.
Yeah, they're in my, that's my like, that's in my top 10.
That's not bad. Yeah. Obviously, you need pottery for agriculture too. So, I mean, I guess I kind of have to respect that one.
You need stuff that holds stuff in space because I want to say the S word so bad. But things just fly away. I don't know, yeah. Man. That's why it's in my top 10.
Mm-hmm.
But I did like agriculture. Definitely. I said agriculture, you know, the whole agricultural revolution. You mm-hmm. could argue the agricultural revolution led to the ISS. I'd like to write a paper on that.
I don't think there's really any question about that. Yeah.
No, but I've been thinking about this all week long.
Mm-hmm. Can hunter-gatherers go to space? I don't know.
No, they
probably not.
There's been like a bunch of studies, and I've read a couple of, you know, papers and newsletters and stuff with Joe Rogan and Jordan Peterson about like how hunters and gatherers were like generally happier than we are.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah, they're like happier than we are.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, I guess that doesn't surprise me. I mean, your life is just looking for food, kind of. I mean, it's not like, I don't know if the word is easier, but it's just
maybe simpler.
Yeah, it's simpler maybe. Mm-hmm. So maybe they were happier, but they weren't going to Mars.
No.
And they weren't advancing the population as much as they could, which is the goal of every species.
Pretty much, yeah.
Unfortunately, we've, you know, maybe we're doing some damage and we got to hold back on that a little
right.
bit. But they weren't. Trying to leave. We're trying to leave. So we're trying to get some people out of here. Yeah, so. Yeah, but I thought the inventions thing's hilarious.
That's a good one. It's a good question.
That's a good question. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So that's classic stuff. Oh, man. So we got plenty of space coming in the future as well. And I'm still thinking about the Inspiration 4 has put its whole team together now, and they're setting to play. They're setting, what is it, for an October?
Yeah, later this year, I believe, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm
looking
forward to that.
James Webb is set for a Halloween launch date.
Oh, yeah, we talked about that before, too. That's great.
Yeah. That'll probably be the biggest launch this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been looking into the James Webb a little bit more because we've been talking about it at the museum a little bit because we're doing a bunch of Hubble stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But the James Webb is, like, a really spectacular I guess it's a satellite. I mean, I don't know what else to call it. Camera. I mean, it's essentially a camera.
Little
telescope. Yeah. But the infrared and everything is going to be able to show us like so much more. going to be able to look at like black holes and stuff. It'll be really cool.
Exoplanets.
Oh yeah. Yeah. They've been doing a bunch of research on exoplanets and stuff, like trying to look into like the surface of exoplanets, because they haven't really been able to do that before. And so that's something they're really excited about with the James Webb telescope. But it's great.
Now, have you heard anything about the WISE telescope?
No.
NASA's been for years talking about building it. It's supposed to be their next big telescope, but it would be for exoplanets. And I forget what happened. Congress took away funding for it, but then they gave it back. So it's kind of up in the air, but they probably wouldn't launch for like 10 years anyways. Huh. But that would be cool.
Yeah, that would be cool too. I've heard about them considering making a new like radio telescope, like an Arecibo, on the moon, like using a crater. I think you might have told me about that, but that's a cool thing too.
Yeah, building it on the far side of the moon. Obviously, Earth's kind of loud when it comes to radio waves. So the far side of the moon would quiet the Earth's radio waves, and you could focus on the space ones, the intergalactic ones.
Yeah. Yeah. Then I think tonight we do have some moon news tonight. I know where I am, we got the pink supermoon. So that's
a supermoon tonight?
It's the pink supermoon. I believe the pink supermoon is the first full moon of the pink moon is the first full moon of spring.
Okay.
And the
why is it pink? Is it like a lunar eclipse type thing?
Pink. They call it pink because, but it's not actually pink. But I think it's called pink because of like the growth, like spring and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I could be wrong about that. And then the super moon just means it's like one of the biggest moons of the year.
So I didn't know that was tonight. That's cool.
Yeah, no, it's tonight. So very exciting. I mean, it's either today or tomorrow. Let me rephrase that, but I believe it's tonight. So yeah, that'll be good too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're kind of running out of time here. Any more updates for us?
Not off the top of my head. The Delta IV just launched, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Looks to be good. And yeah, I think that's it for right now.
That's all I got. Yeah. Well. Yeah. Well, we have been, we have been Brad and Jim today, and follow us on Instagram, both at Space Science Rocketry and at Space Chams. Please feel free to leave a nice like on everybody's posts and follow us and do some good stuff like that. Always remember that, we appreciate those likes and follows. Tell us about your friends, tell your dog about us and everything. So that's good. Brad, it's been an absolute pleasure having you back on for the first recurring guest we've ever had.
It's been great being here. I'm honored.
And we'll have you back on, I'm sure, in a couple of weeks or a month or two, just for another update on what's going on in the world. Maybe we'll have some new invention conversations going on. Everybody out there, remember to keep looking up.